Good morning, InfoWars. Welcome to the weekend edition of the program. We're very excited that you are all here and joining me. Folks, if you haven't gotten the message, I am now the new host of American Journal, the show we host Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time every day. So you're going to want to tune into that. But we have so many incredible stories, everything the mainstream media won't tell you about, we talk about on the American Journal. So that is something you're going to want to set your alarm to. Now, if you missed what happened on the program this week, we're going to give you some overview on all of that. But so many incredible guests joined me, and it was an honor to have them on the program. You see, this is the difference between us versus the mainstream media. We talk about everything that they don't want us talking about. Now, as many of you guys know, it was devastating to hear and to see the assassination of Charlie Kirk. But so many on the left celebrated it. It was absolutely egregious and disgusting and deplorable. But so many are afraid to call it out for what it truly is. This country is dealing with a communist takeover. We have communists who have entered the Democratic Party and have made their way to the highest rankings. And right now, Democrats, the moderate Democrats, are refusing to call it out. But the reality of it is we have no fear in our hearts. We will continue to call out the truth. We will not allow these communists to destroy this great country. That's what we do all the time on this program. We call it out. We tell you what the mainstream media doesn't want you looking at. The reality is you need to be paying attention because they're trying to destroy this great nation, but we won't let them. We won't let them. You know, we're going to continue to carry Charlie Kirk's memory. We're going to continue to make sure that they don't shy away from saying the truth when it comes to Turning Point and how we move forward in all of this. Because none of us are ready to back down. The left has declared war on us. And unfortunately, so many have refused to jump in on this fight. Most of people in the mainstream media want to talk about unity. And throughout the week on this program, we told you that unity is not an option anymore. How many times is one side going to continue to shoot bullets at us before we sit back and we go, probably start throwing some punches back? See, violence isn't the answer, but when one side is being consistently violent, you must respond. It is your duty to respond. Now, again, we're not provoking anyone, but you have to defend yourself. And although the left likes to sit there and say that self-defense is no longer legal, we've seen it as they've persecuted many who have tried to defend themselves. We're not going to back down. You see, the problem with the left is this, is they've assumed for far too long that they can just continue doing what they've done, attacking us with death threats, with physical threats, with showing up to our events and actually assaulting those who attend. Because they don't want you showing up to events. They don't want you speaking your mind. They don't like the fact that you voted for President Donald J. Trump. Well, now is not the time to back down. You see, the difference between the United States and every other country in the world is that we have the United States Constitution. The Constitution has saved this great nation. It is the buffer between us and the communist pricks who are looking to destroy us. Well, the reality is we're not going to shy away. We're not going to allow them to win. And again, throughout the week, we've discussed all of that. You see, we've compiled a bunch of incredible guests who have joined me on the show and will continue to join me on the show. And the reality is, while cancel culture and outlets like Fox News continue to blacklist these incredible guests from coming on their platform, we're not doing that. We're going to have a group of patriots on this program every single day to speak the truth, because now isn't the time to back down. You see, Charlie Kirk was a moderate compared to the rest of us. He wanted open dialogue. He was the peacemaker. And what did they do? They shot him. And now, when we sit here and we ask Democrats to come together, well, guess what they do? They won't. They won't. They refuse to unify. They refuse to speak down about those who have continuously made death threats against conservatives because they don't like what you have to say. Throughout the week, we have highlighted all of this, and I look forward to continuing to bring that to you. So let's just go over some of my favorite interviews that we've done this week. And let me remind you, I'm the host of American Journal. You must set my time on your watch because we've got a lot to discuss throughout the week.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Congressman Troy Nehls joins the program. Congressman, thank you for being here. We're very excited to have you. Yesterday, you had to sit through all of that. I know the director did a great job at trying to push back on all of these Democrats who were trying to spin the narrative when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein. Obviously, we all want the Epstein files to be released, but that was a commitment that President Trump laid out. Now Democrats are jumping on board because not everything can be released. Your reaction to the very particular words that they were using when going after the director on this topic?
Yeah, they attacked. Well, it's good to be with you. They attacked the director, I said, unjustly. You saw it the day prior to with the Senate, with some of the same old clowns over in the Senate, just attacking, attacking, attacking. And I told Director Kash Patel, I said, the reason they're attacking you is because you're very, very effective. For the first time in a very, very long time, we actually have an FBI director that wants to keep the American people safe. He puts the American people first, and they demonstrated that with going in and sending the National Guard in every place to whether it's going to be Memphis, up in D.C. We've seen a significant decrease in violent crime. So everything is working, and the Democrats are very frustrated. But we have a very articulate, common sense approach, director of the FBI would tell, because we didn't have it before with Comer and them. I mean, or Comey. They weren't. And he's released. Cash has said with Raskin and some of these other nut jobs we have on the left on judiciary, he said, I've released over 33,000 pages, 33,000 documents. What do you mean we're not participating or being forthwith with the Epstein case? It's stupidity.
Yeah. And they had all these years to demand it. Now, all of a sudden, they're demanding it. And it's a part of the cover up. And that's why, I truly believe at this point that any of the evidence that might have been incriminating to their allies, their donors, has probably been deleted at this point, erased, because I can't imagine why all of a sudden now they feel inspired enough to ask for these documents. And it's just frustrating to see them use sexual assault victims as their political props at this point, because they didn't ask all these questions when there was individuals coming together and trying to hear their voices, get their voices heard. I'm referring to about Joe Biden and others who came forward and laid out allegations against them. They ignored it. And so it's just very interesting to see how they do this now. But, you mentioned Patel and how he's sitting here outlining what the FBI has been doing. Well, it's funny because the FBI hasn't been doing this one thing, and that's targeting Americans. They stopped doing that under his leadership, and he outlined it yesterday in front of your committee. Take a listen.
Director, yes or no, is the FBI still spying on parents at school board meetings?
No, sir.
Is the FBI still targeting Catholics?
No, sir.
Is the FBI still spying on President Trump?
I don't believe so.
Is the FBI still censoring Americans?
No, sir.
Is the FBI still targeting Americans for shopping at Cabela's or purchasing Bibles?
Nobody is targeted for their faith.
Is the FBI still targeting Americans who are pro-life?
Nobody is targeting anyone for their beliefs.
Is the FBI still cooking the books on crime data?
The crime data is real.
Is the FBI still purging agents for conservative viewpoints?
No one at the FBI has asked their viewpoints on policy.
Is the FBI still labeling the Betsy Ross flag, the flag of the American Revolution, a hate symbol?
No.
Well, maybe that's why you've been able to, what was the number, 23,000 bad guys you've arrested, a huge increase from the same time period in the previous administration. I think you said 1,400 predators, 4,000 children rescued. Were those the facts?
4,700, 35% increase on children rescued.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been doing a great job at that, at least, but they seem to look the other way on that front. So far, though, things are going well for the FBI, although we'll never find out exactly who they've fired because it's personal information that they can't disclose legally. We are hearing that there are some great changes happening within the agency. What have you seen so far that you actually think is a great job that they've been focused on?
Well, I think what you just saw there with Chairman Jordan laying everything out, the FBI is getting back into the business of actually investigating crime, investigating criminal organizations. We should be out there looking at Trendyagua and all these other terrorist organizations that have entered our country illegally that are now preying on the American people. So that's the FBI's job. The FBI's job is to go out there and protect the American people. They have many, 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 many agents out there, but these agents were doing everything but investigating crime. They were investigating the Republican Party. They were investigating people that had a dissenting point of view than what we saw with the previous administration. And so they were working for Joe Biden and the deep state. But that's all come to a halt, a quick screeching halt. And Director Patel laid it out there with the number of arrests. The left is so upset too. They don't like Kash Patel. It's quite clear. They have hatred towards Kash Patel because Kash Patel was the one that spearheaded the Russia investigation. And it was all nothing but a hoax. So he's not high. He's not going to get any Christmas cards from any of the members on the left because they despise him for what he did. He's very articulate. He's very intelligent. And he's very effective. And he is so effective that the American people are supporting what the FBI is doing and what the administration is doing with trying to combat the criminal element that have taken over. They've taken over our large cities across the country. And so when we go into Memphis, you're going to see many, many more arrests like you saw in D.C. And the people in those communities, the people that may not have a voice every day, they love what's taking place. They said, we have a president and an administration that puts us, the American people, and our safety first. Yeah. I applaud them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a campaign promise that President Trump has carried out on. And that is really important. What he's done in D.C. has been absolutely incredible to sit back and watch. Congressman, you have just recently been selected to serve on the subcommittee for J6. Now, there was a lot of questions that have been left unanswered in regards to J6. I know that your office, you are very excited releasing a statement after this came out detailing what you're looking forward to the most. But we've got a lot of unanswered questions here. What are some of your questions that you look forward to digging into?
Well, you know, when January 6th took place, obviously I had a conversation with some of the rioters at the main doors leading into the House floor. I wrote a book on this. Matter of fact, I wrote a book on it that talks a little bit about January 6th. I know a little bit about it. Leader McCarthy asked me and Jim Jordan and a few others to be on that original select committee. Nancy Pelosi rejected us. It's the first time in the history of Congress a speaker rejected a minority leader's picks to be on a select committee. But you didn't see that with Mike Johnson now. So we've got five Republicans. We've got three Democrats. Eric Swalwell, Jasmine Crockett. Yes, could we have played the same old games like Nancy Pelosi did? But no. Speaker Johnson said, okay, I accept your picks. Hakeem Jeffries, I accept them. So now we're going to have some several hearings. I can't tell you when the first one's going to take place, but we're going to look to getting into the truth on January 6th. Because Benny Thompson, Liz Cheney, Crying Adam, and all of them, it wasn't about exposing truth on January 6th. The January 6th sham committee under Benny Thompson and Nancy Pelosi was about to destroy Donald Trump, blame him for January 6th. Because they wanted to destroy Donald Trump's career. They wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to run for president in 2024 because they're definitely afraid of him. Now, that didn't work out very well, did it? It didn't work out very well for the Democrat Party, and Donald Trump is in the White House. So I and the other committee members are out about exposing the truth. Why was the Capitol so ill-prepared to deal with that day? Why? The intelligence was there. Oh, my gosh, the intelligence assessments that were conducted. You would have said, we need the National Guard here on January 4th already. The National Guard showed up too late. So I think it's important to let the American people hear some truth as to why January 6th took place. What were the problems with January 6th, the deficiencies? And it has nothing to do with Donald Trump inviting these individuals into the building to overthrow the government. It's so far from the truth, but that was the narrative from the left, and it's just not true, and we're going to expose it.
It's just devastating, yeah. Completely devastating. And the fact that those on the left are cheerleading for this is pretty disgusting in itself. Congressman, I want to thank you for all that you keep doing, and thank you for being an incredible fighter in this fight. We look forward to seeing you on the J6 Select Committee, and we look forward to seeing what comes from that. So thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you.
Streets dead, there's nothing left for us. Be careful who you trust. Play you with fire and get burnt.
Look, when you realize how fake it all is, the football, the basketball, the Lady Gaga, the Justin Bieber, who gives you these carbon tax messages. They tell your kids they got to love Justin Bieber, and then Bieber says, hand in your guns, pass the Cybersecurity Act, and the police state's good, and then your children are turned into mindless vassals who now they look up to some twit instead of looking up to Thomas Jefferson or looking up to Nikola Tesla or looking up to Magellan. I mean, kids, he circumnavigated with one ship the entire planet. He was killed by wild natives before they got back to Portugal. And when they got back, there was only like 11 people alive of the 200 and something crew, and the entire ship was rotting down to the waterline. That's destiny. That's will. That's striving. That's being a trailblazer, an explorer, going into space, mathematics, quantum mechanics, the secrets of the universe. It's all there. Life is fiery with its beauty, its incredible detail.
Today is the one-year anniversary of the AlexJonesRoe.com. Took 6 months to set it up, but we are launching Life is Fiery with its Beauty. That's a saying I said many years ago. One-year anniversary fundraiser sale. And we are doing really good in court. Big victories. You're going to see a bunch of stuff in the news very, very soon. I'll just leave it at that, involving the DOJ and what they've done to us. I'll stop right there. In celebration of the AlexJonesRoe.com officially becoming open for business for a year, we are launching the Life is Fiery with its Beauty one-year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25. They cost like $15 a piece, of such high quality, instead of the regular $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week only, with no code required on all orders above $75. Just at checkout, $11 comes off the price. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn are 50% off an amazing natural fat burning private label of the top seller. So, you know, it's already a top company. It totally works, certified. 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com and take advantage of the incredible fundraiser sale now for incredible discounts on all of our merch, including the new Holy Wars line of Life is Fire with its Beauty. It's all based on the Crusades, which were a defense to over 100 Islamic attacks on Europe. If you don't go now, you won't be able to use the free $11 we are offering this week only, and you may miss out on the Ultimate Burn, which is about to sell out. Life is Fire with its Beauty one-year anniversary fundraiser sale details. All hats and shirts site-wide are just $25 and $35. Get a $11 to use anywhere on the site. No code needed for all orders above $75. Get an additional 50% off on all one-time orders of Ultimate Burn. And there's a bunch of other 50% off on Methylene Blue and so much more. Remember, every dollar you spend, thealexjonesstore.com is a round in the heart, information-wise, peacefully, of the New World Order, satanic globalist cabal. Be the reason we will always be on the air while you still have a chance to save free speech, humanity itself. We've really gotten traction against the globalists. We're having major victories, but we've got to go over the top here. I am in state court today, federal court next week. We're deposing these people. I met with the Justice Department last week. Major stuff you will see within days on the quick side, within a week on the long side. You want action? You want it's happening. We can only stay in the fight because of you. So I salute you all. You are the spirit of 1776. You are the answer to the 1984 tyranny. You are the resistance. The answer to 1984 is 1776. And I salute you all for your support, your word about your prayer. And I salute this crew, the best crew ever. They are so amazing. So keep them in the fight as well. Go now to thealexshowstore.com. Be the reason we always stay on the air.
There's a lot we're going to dive into today, and I'm not doing it alone. Let's welcome to the show Ken Silva. He is the great reporter, editor over at Headline USA, and he does all of the document diving that every other mainstream journalist refuses to do, and he is with us now. Ken, thank you for jumping on with us today. I'm very excited to have you on the program. We just heard from the FBI director, and he's walking us through what his role in all of this was, but the reports are contradicting. It sounds like, according to Daily Mail, it was at the dinner in New York City, and according to New York Times, that his own agents were withholding evidence from him. So what is the very latest, and what do you make of all of this?
Well, it's great to be here. And not only was he out to dinner, apparently this is a five-star restaurant. It's called Rouse. And I guess you have to, like, know the owner. You have to really be connected in order to get a table. So it's not like he went out to Applebee's just to get some quick wings before he hits the New York field office again. I think it's important to note that. Right before I jumped on, I was also watching Cash's interview with Fox and Friends, and he brought up another interesting thing that raises questions. He says that the suspect, Tyler Robinson, left a note that said, yes, I'm planning to kill Kirk if you read this. However, that note was apparently destroyed, and Cash said they were able to confirm the note through, quote, aggressive interview posture, with which I'm reading that as to say, you know, we have a destroyed, shredded up piece of paper or a burnt piece of paper, but somebody told us what it says. So I don't think that is going to stand up in court. I think he's trying to get some good PR before the congressional hearings this week. To his credit, he does say that releasing the photos of the suspect is what prompted the family members to question Tyler if he was the actual shooter. But to me, this isn't like 200 IQ police detective work. Like, releasing a wanted poster is kind of like hundreds of years old law enforcement practice. So if his subordinates were pushing against releasing the poster releasing the pictures, then I guess good for him for making like the obvious decision. But I don't think he should be getting, you know, applauded for doing something that a 10-year-old could have, you know, told him to do.
Yeah, Ken, I think they're overstepping, they're overstating what actually happened. And I get it. Like, and I want to be as kind as possible, because I understand that there was a personal relationship here with both the director and Charlie. And so I don't want to sound cruel, but it's really hard to wrap my mind around all of this and then to pretend like this was an efficient investigation. If it wasn't for the father who turned his own son in, I don't think we'd be where we are today, because it didn't seem like they really kind of had a good grasp on all of this. I mean, they're shuffling through individuals who the director labeled as the subject in all of this, and it in fact wasn't. I believe it was the governor also coming out and saying, hey guys, like, stop going after that guy because he's not a suspect. He had no involvement in this. We just wanted to question him. And that poor individual is probably getting threats like crazy. So I think it's irresponsible for the director to do. But then also on the other side of this, I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of people in the FBI who don't like Director Patel. They don't like President Trump. Mm-hmm. So one would think that they might be actually intentionally sandbagging him to fail. And so I think that's another element to all of this. I wanted to ask you about the Discord chat, because I think that's the big one here too, because Discord itself is saying that there was no planning that was done on their platform. And they're saying that what sounds like with confidence, but we're hearing from law enforcement that there's a lot of questionable things that were sent over Discord. And it's interesting because Discord has been used in other shootings, other terrorist attacks domestically. So that it's kind of easy to understand how this would be happening on this platform, but the company's saying it didn't. So what's the latest on that front too?
Sure. And so, yeah, Discord has been used for discussing, glorifying mass shootings, school shootings. There's these dark groups like 764. It doesn't appear that Tyler was in something like that. From what I've read, this was a group of about 20 people, including his supposed boyfriend, that Lance Twiggs guy, a number of high school friends. And what happened here is after the FBI released photos of the suspect, some of Tyler's friends were joking, like, "Tyler, is that you? LOL." And he doesn't admit it. He kind of is going along with the joke, saying, I read the bullets had inscribings with anti-fascist messages. I better pick up that rifle and get rid of my manifesto, LOL. So it's like not an admission. It's hard to tell exactly what's going on. Like, the younger kids are kind of ironic about everything. And then I think at one point he jokes like, "Well, if you guys get the reward, the $100,000 for turning me in, let me get a cut of that." And actually, I think Charlie Kirk faked his own death so he could escape politics and go to Kansas. So it's a bunch of joking around. I don't know if this evidence, like the supposed note he left, I don't think this is going to hold up in court. I think you could argue that he's joking. The interesting thing is that Discord even denies it. From what I read on their official statement, they denied that this took place on their platform. But New York Times said that it reviewed these Discord messages from one of Tyler's friends who showed it to a reporter. So again, there's contradictory messages. The FBI and Discord both have more explaining to do.
Yeah, and can you follow a lot of these types of cases where Discord's used? It's being used, quite frankly, by a lot of left-wing groups, and it's also being used by, we talked to Alex Rosen quite often, it's being used by pedophiles. And so it's interesting to hear whether or not it's being used in this latest terrorist attack. But there's also the left-wing attachment to all of this. Now, we're hearing from the New York Post that there's neighbors who are alleging that there was kind of these strange cars going in and out of the parking lot from different states of where this suspect lived. What's the very latest on the angle regarding any type of left-wing, radical left-wing groups that were linked to the suspect?
You know, I've seen a lot of screenshots where there people are implying this is some sort of trans death cult. I'm sure a lot of people on Twitter have seen the screenshots. Like, on September 10th, people are saying, "Oh, something big's going to happen today." September 3rd, "Oh, something's going to happen to Charlie." I haven't been able to confirm any of those. In fact, I think kind of what people need to realize here, though, is Discord has become heavily monitored by the FBI. I mean, one of the most notorious mass shootings was the 2022 Top shooting, in which a white supremacist named Peyton Gendron live streamed a shooting at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, where he killed 10 black people. And immediately after that, he had a manifesto about the so-called great replacement theory. And people blame Tucker Carlson, talking about white replacement. "Oh, you must have radicalized this kid. We had a lot of talks about so-called stochastic terrorism." But the real scandal in that shooting was that when Peyton Gendron put a link to his live video for the shooting in a Discord channel, one of the people who accessed it was a, quote, retired federal agent. The reason I'm mentioning this is because after that, the Biden administration announced that they were going to partner, like the FBI and other intelligence agencies were going to partner with Discord to heavily monitor these chats to make sure these things aren't going on. So while a lot of people are wondering, well, was this chat room, was like this radical leftism? Was this like 7-6-4 theme nihilism? My mind always goes to foreknowledge.
Ken, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing. I'm going to read a story later on in the program that you have up right now over at headlineusa.com. It's a great one about more failures from our FBI. Give Ken a follow on X, folks.
Agent Jones leaps from the sky, martini in hand. Danger closing in fast. Dodging bullets and charming every woman in sight, he discovers the prize, a briefcase full of stolen war bonds. Not from the Queen, from the alexjonesstore.com. Every bond fuels the mission. Every purchase keeps the fight alive. Support the show, because in this world, the only license that matters is to resist.
This is a little piece of art, a really nice memento, and when you order for $100 an InfoWars war bond, it gets mailed to you with a one-time promo code you use. So when I show these on air, whoever puts one of these in first gets $110. But when it comes in the mail, you can use it once for $110 in the store. And then it's a nice memento to know that you supported the operation in such a key, critical time. Alex Jones War Bond, $110. Redeem your $110 War Bond right now. Just enter the gift code below at checkout, and it will then pay for your purchase, and then you get to keep the War Bond to hang on the wall, a nice little memento. Get your Alex Jones War Bonds right now, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so $770 right here for whoever watching live puts in one of these codes first. You get $110 to spend in the store. But for everybody else, they also make great gifts. You can also watch the show at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a listen live area right there with the streams. Thealexjonesstore.com. And even if the globals are successful at shutting down InfoWars, which they're not going to be, I believe, in a celebration of the Alex Jones Store officially being open for business for 1 year, we're launching the Life is Fire with its Beauty 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25, not $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week at checkout. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn, an incredible natural weight loss formula, are 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Be the reason, as Chase Geyser says, we will always be on the air. And I humbly and respectfully thank you for all of your support.
Powered by Ultimate Burn, he hits the street, running through the city with fire in his feet. Punching slabs of beef, sweat starts to rise. Strength in his heart, you can see in his eyes. It's the fist of freedom, the power, the might, fueled by Ultimate Burn. He's ready to fight. Bill Gates falls, Schwab hits the ground. Humanity saved with the victory sound.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
We're now digging through all of the facts to kind of learn as to how the assassination against Charlie Kirk even happened in the first place. It's hard to wrap your mind around. I mean, I've been waking up thinking that this was all just a really bad dream, and it's not, unfortunately. This is the reality. We have far left-wing terrorists living in this country right now, and we have to crack down on this. This was a very serious issue, unfortunately, that has not been taken very seriously. And Charlie Kirk, I mean, according to the president, one of his last discussions was blowing the whistle on how egregious these far left wing organizations were getting and how the president, the federal government needed to get a grip and go after them. Unfortunately, Charlie paid the ultimate consequence in all of this with his life. Now, although we all know where Charlie is now, it should have never happened in the first place. It shouldn't have happened in the first place. And it's egregious. It's infuriating. But we're learning more and more about the groups this individual may have been associated with. Again, these are just reports. We're not really getting much in the way of I haven't seen much in the way of transparency at this point. You know, we're seeing press conferences where they're saying there was Discord chats, the Discord saying there were no chats. We're also seeing leaks being leaked to both the New York Post and Daily Mail, which has been enlightening. But again, I can't 100% say with confidence because it's just the report whether these things are true or not. Joining me to discuss is Viva Fry. He is an incredible host over on Rumble. He's a great show that he does every single day. He's also a former litigator, and he is with us now. Viva, I'm excited to have you on today's program, my friend. A lot going on in the world, and it's been a very sad last few days, given the fact that we lost the incredible Charlie Kirk. I just want to take a moment before we dive into the topics for today, for you to reflect on Charlie. I know I had the honor of meeting him once at the RNC inside the Rumble studio, and he seemed like an incredible person, but I didn't know him closely. I know so many people are coming out and talking about how he used to send them scripture all the time, that he was just an inspirational person, but your reaction to both who he was and the legacy he leaves behind?
Well, I knew him less well than others, but I knew him well enough. I mean, I'd been on his show a few times over a few years. I'd known him for a few years. You know, they had to pick someone who's, I say, innocent in the sense of pure. They're trying to do everything they can in their power to demonize him retroactively, to make it seem as though somehow it's either morally justified for these psychopaths or not a tragedy because. And you have people now, you know, they called him a bigot, a racist, all of the words they use to describe people who are Christian and proud Christians for, you know, the better part of a decade, and then act all shocked and surprised as how something like this happens. But they have to and had to pick someone innocent and pure in a spiritual sense in order for it to have the impact that it has had. Picking on people who are loathed in media universally or bipartisanly, it wouldn't have been the same shocking impact as this. And in the wake of it, it's like, you know, Robert Barnes and I were talking about it last night during our show. There's three levels of shock. You know, how it could happen. I forget what the third one was, the second one was, but the third one was the public reaction to this. It's repulsive. It's abhorrent. It's not civilized nation responses. It is animal responses from people who are, it's one thing to engage in vitriol on Twitter and then the internet. People do it. It's the internet culture. You know, GKYS is something you see all the time. It's some, you know, people say it all the time on the internet. It's another thing to actually post your, I'm looking at these ugly faces.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. It's another thing. It's one thing to say, like, you know, go FYS on Twitter, go G key, you know, go kill yourself. It's one of the tropes. It's another thing to post videos as though this wasn't a human, as though this wasn't a man, a father, a son, a brother, and as though this man was the equivalent of Hitler. I mean, it is what happens in the mind of a demented individual when they equate silence to violence, when they equate words to violence. Well, then you get to fight silence and words with violence, and it's morally justified in your unhinged head. And the amount of people, reasonable people who I know directly, like, this is not just abstract avatars, real people, real faces in social circles, it's abhorrent. And I don't know what it takes for a society to take a step back. These people have taken so many steps forward. There is no backing down from having rejoiced in the assassination of a peaceful man only speaking words. There's no backing down from that. So all those people need to be remembered and need to be avoided and shunned. But there are a lot of them. And it's really, really despairing to see the amount of rejoicing psychopaths on this earth, on campuses, on social media, on Facebook, on Blue Sky, rejoicing in this as though it was Osama bin Laden. And even when it was Osama bin Laden, I'm going to go pull up my tweet from back. You don't rejoice in the fact that you even had to kill a terrorist. You say, okay, it was a necessary thing to do. You don't rejoice in murder unless you are a villainous psychopath. And we are witnessing a generation of villainous psychopaths on social media who think it's cutesy to bat their eyelashes and say, I'm so glad. It's psychotic, period. I don't know where it goes from here.
Yeah. And, you know, I was a little relieved when I heard President Trump say that there are ongoing investigations regarding a lot of these groups that we're discussing right now. Let's play that soundbite because I think that was very enlightening and it brought me a lot of hope.
Well, the problem is on the left. If you look at the problem is on the left. It's not on the right, like some people like to say on the right. The problem we have is on the left. And when you look at the agitators, you look at the scum that speaks so badly of our country, the American flag burnings all over the place, that's the left, that's not the right.
We plan on investigating.
We'll see, we'll be announcing. They're already under investigation. You know, they're already under major investigation. A lot of the people that you would traditionally say are on the left.
They're already under
investigation? Already under investigation.
All right, when it comes to RICO, this is a possibility, right?
Yeah, the question I would follow up was already as in post-assassination or pre-assassination?
Yeah.
I mean, this is I'm not besmirching the current FBI, and there's no but to that. Historically, there have been a great number of cases where the FBI might have been tailing the terrorist as he went to the Draw Muhammad thing that happened a while back. They might have been tailing him as it happened. There are a number of cases where the FBI had advanced knowledge of a number of things. Yeah, he was known to law enforcement. So were they investigating prior to the assassination, or is this new after and they're going to actually, enforce the law?
Yeah, I think it's an important question to ask because, again, I was enraged when I saw it, but we sat there and watched as people like Bill Gates was sitting at the White House just, what was it, last week? And a lot of his donations have gone to these far left groups, I should say. And the reality of it is they all need to be investigated. I mean, the fact that Soros money is making its way into all of these groups and he is a foreigner and we should not be allowing this to happen is gut-wrenching because it is happening. But then when you see, Zuckerberg sitting there and Bill Gates and, the usual characters that we know are not our allies in this fight for freedom, they're sitting there. They got a seat at the White House. It's a bit enraging. How do we go after the funding in all of this? Because the funding is the key problem. Once the funding goes away, then these groups will slowly start to fall off, too.
Well, I mean, it was Cernovich, I think, was the first person I saw who made this observation. So I've got to give this credit of this bit of wisdom to Cernovich, Mike Cernovich, said, investigate and defund these organizations. Soros, Open Borders, Open Society, sorry, not Open Borders. Investigate these activist organizations who are financing the upheaval. It's very easy. And whether or not RICO charges can originate from it, investigate and defund, period. The government's, to some extent, the country's literally funding its own demise. And the outside forces who seek to destabilize, sovereign nations for the purposes of justifying a perpetual surveillance state, justifying a one world government. I mean, they have a clear agenda to this and they have a clear role in it. And so like Cernovich says, investigate them, RICO charges if warranted and defund and prosecute. Even if there's no RICO there, the level of corruption that exists that has never been explored, that has never, the surface has never been scratched. It's like, it's the joke, sort of. You scratch the surface with Adam Schiff, you find mortgage fraud. You scratch the surface with Lisa Cook, you find mortgage fraud. You scratch the surface with the Letizia James, the people who've been prosecuting the Republicans, you'll find the fraud. Scratch the surface on these corrupt organizations and you'll find the criminality. But it hasn't been done yet and the time is long overdue.
Yeah, it is long overdue. And I was hoping that this ball was rolling from day one. I was hoping that the DOJ had a blueprint on what they were going to be doing. Doesn't look to be the case, but again, we don't know 100%. Maybe there was something going on behind closed doors. Normally, I do hear whispers, but I was not hearing any whispers on this front. So we do hope that there is going to be some moves here because this is something that should be a top priority for this administration. They have been on the receiving end of a lot of this harassment, the abuse, the assaults, and so they need to crush this. Viv, I want to thank you for joining me today. You do an incredible job over on Rumble. So folks, give him a follow there as well on X. It is a pleasure to have you on my very first American Journal hosting show. So thank you for being here with me, Sarah. I appreciate it as always.
This is a little piece of art, a really nice memento. And when you order for $100 an InfoWars war bond, it gets mailed to you with a one-time promo code you use. So when I show these on air, whoever puts one of these in first gets $110. But when it comes in the mail, you can use it once for $110 in the store. And then it's a nice memento to know that you supported the operation in such a key, critical time. Alex Jones War Bond, $110. Redeem your $110 War Bond right now. Just enter the gift code below at checkout. And it will then pay for your purchase, and then you get to keep the war bond to hang on the wall, a nice little memento. Get your Alex Jones war bonds right now, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so $770 right here for whoever watching live puts in one of these codes first. You get $110 to spend in the store. But for everybody else, they also make great gifts. You can also watch the show at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a listen live area right there with the streams, thealexjonesstore.com. And even if the globals are successful at shutting down InfoWars, which they're not going to be, I believe, in a celebration of the Alex Jones Store officially being open for business for 1 year, we're launching the Light Is Fire with Its Beauty 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25, not $35 plus. We're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week at checkout. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn, an incredible natural weight loss formula, are 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Be the reason, as Chase Geyser says, we will always be on the air. And I humbly and respectfully thank you for all of your support.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue. So I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it. And you just gave me your brief testimony. So I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents. And so my biorhythms get all messed up. And so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, and be honest, though, because you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP. Didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate. It's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because if there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.
Folks, this has been a very interesting week, especially for the MAHA movement. And if you haven't been paying attention, well, luckily we have. And we've been following some very critical measures that have been taking place over at the CDC. Now, as many of you guys know, RFK Jr. has been shaking up the CDC because he's had enough of the CDC being so, let's just say, bought off by Big Pharma. Joining me now to discuss is Tom Redds. He's an incredible attorney. He is a freedom fighter, especially when it comes to medical freedom. And he joins us now on the program. Tom, thank you for joining us. I'm excited that you're here because there's a lot of great changes happening over at the CDC. And although it's slowly happening, we're very optimistic, obviously. This big change happening yesterday, they're looking to tweak the recommendations for the measles vaccines, which includes protections against chickenpox. Your reaction to the changes that were voted on yesterday?
Well, this is really just common sense, right? So if we look at this, the MMRV vaccine, which is the MMR vaccine plus the chickenpox vaccine, is much like every other childhood vaccine, improperly studied, understudied, and the follow-ups have really been, at best, weak. There really just isn't much. So this is a very sensible move. The risk of seizures that they talked about yesterday versus the case fatality rate of these various diseases is it's huge, right? So with the seizures, I believe they're looking at in some cases I think they're saying up to 3 to 5%, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at the case fatality rate of a lot of these diseases, you're looking at 0.01 to 0.05%. I mean, you're looking at sometimes almost, just tens and tens of tens higher risks that over the risk of the disease. The diseases aren't that dangerous. Nobody dies from chickenpox, right? Nobody mm-hmm. dies from rubella. And it's not just because of the vaccines. It's because the diseases just aren't that dangerous.
Yeah. And I think it's important for folks to remember that. Now, the CDC is meeting again today, and they're looking to vote potentially on the hepatitis B vaccines, it looks like, as well, which is very strange. Can you break down what it's the current recommendation is and what potentially they're going to be looking to vote on, because I was shocked. Now, obviously, I'm not a parent, so I learned this when I was talking to my friends who are becoming parents, when they were told, or when the hospitals tried to grab their newborns just a couple of hours after being born, and they were being given this vaccine, and it took a lot for the parents to step in and shut it down before they were able to do it. But why the heck are we giving these vaccines to newborns?
So there's no good reason at all. This is one of the most mind-blowing things ever. One of the things that we need to really start out with is understand that every single, and I went through every one of them, I went through every single childhood vaccine on the schedule, and I looked at the studies, the original studies to approve them. Not one of those studies was without major flaws. Then once the vaccines are approved and on the schedule, there's no follow-up. There's only VAERS. Now, VAERS, according to the law and according to everything, is not reliable because nobody reports. They're supposed to, but they don't. So there's no reporting system, no follow-up to determine whether these flawed studies actually were flawed. So what's happened is Big Pharma will do flawed studies to get approved because they own HHS. They get the approval, and then no one follows up to determine the actual safety or efficacy. So when Bobby's talking about safety efficacy studies, that's what he's saying. And the Hep B vaccine is one of the most profound examples, right? The Hep B vaccine is something where unless mom has hepatitis, there's absolutely no reason to give it. Hepatitis B is something transmitted through drug use or sharing needles or unsafe sex practices. How many infants are doing that? And the answer is none, right? So there's no benefit to doing this. And you can test mom to see if she has Hep B. And if mom is not out, engaging in unsafe practices, it's pretty clear that mom probably doesn't have Hep B. So this is something that that has absolutely no benefit for a vast, vast, vast majority of the population, but does put the children at risk. The only reason they're pushing this is because pharma makes money on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's disturbing that that's the reason. But again, we've been talking about this for quite some time, that how financially motivated they are to push these vaccines onto newborns. Tom, I have to ask, and I'm very curious what you're going to answer this, because I am someone who has a lot of friends who are having children right now, and they don't know what vaccines to give their kids. They're looking at the recommendations and they're overwhelmed. There's so many studies out there that show that, yeah, they're safe and effective, but there's all these other type of factors that they don't know about because they're not experts on this issue. What would you recommend for new parents who are looking at the childhood vaccine recommendations right now? What should be a top priority, if any, of these vaccines at all?
I'm going to be real honest with you. One of my great regrets is that I vaccinated my children. I was pro-vax, very pro-vax up until COVID. And then I learned what I learned. And I started, and I've gone through, and I've literally went through every single one of these. And I wouldn't give my child one of them. Not one of them, in my opinion, has been properly proven safe or effective. And I would debate any expert out there on this without hesitation, because there really isn't proper study, proper follow-up. There's insinuations, there's suggestions, there's all sorts of things. But when you look at the study design of all of these, there's a couple of very common themes that you see in all these studies. So they will have small sample sizes that can't possibly capture some of these more rare side effects. And you've got to understand that a lot of these vaccines are there to prevent diseases that have such a low risk of death that they provide very little, if any, benefit at all. I mean, chickenpox, when we were kids, you would have chickenpox parties. So your parents could just get it done, right? So everybody got it at once, and you didn't have to worry about it. Nobody dies from chickenpox, right? But when you look at the studies across the board, we have all these vaccines, and most of these diseases aren't all that dangerous. And then when you look at some of the diseases that are more dangerous, like polio, everybody wants to talk about polio. The studies that say that the polio vaccine were safe, the studies that it was approved on really weren't that good. And polio has been very well documented. The drop in polio had a lot less to do with the vaccine than it did with sanitation practices and all the different things that changed as we came to the modern era. The timing made it look very coincidental. But not one of these studies, not one of these vaccines has been approved on a proper gold standard study that would pass real muster if anybody was looking into it. Not one. And I say that not as a scientist. I say it as an attorney who's spent the last 5 years spending every moment of his time looking at how I would cross-examine someone on this, right? It's just, there's no answers.
Yeah, yeah. And it's disturbing. It really is disturbing, Tom, that this is still an ongoing issue here, because it's been going on for many, many years. And there's a lot of people out there who are trying to embarrass, trying to shun those who come forward and ask these simple questions and try to question the legitimacy behind a lot of these vaccine datas that they keep, the data that they keep pouring out there. But again, they don't want us talking about that. But I wanted to shift our attention a little bit, because yesterday we were covering it. RFK Jr. alongside with Dr. Oz, they came out to talk about organ harvesting. And ultimately, there's a lot of reforms going on. It sounds like, and I know, you know, America First Legal is digging into this a little bit more, but it sounds like under the Biden regime, there was a lot of financial incentives that were given to hospitals based on how many more organ transplants they were able to get donors from. There was also DEI that they're accusing them of potentially participating in, maybe prioritizing someone else on the list based on those standards. And so while, you know, America First Legal is digging into this, RFK Jr. has said he's seen enough, he's had enough, and he's ready to work on some reforms right now. Some of those reforms include an agency that he's accusing of very, very concerning accusations. It's called Life Alliance Organ Recovery Agency, and they're based out of the University of Miami Health System. They're one of their divisions there now. They're one of 55 organ procedure organizations, but ultimately what HHS is accusing them of is they're claiming that at least 28 patients may have not been deceased at the time that their organs were being harvested. And obviously that's something that's extremely concerning. So they're one of the groups that the administration is looking to block from being able to continue to participate in all of this, because that is extremely reckless and inhumane to do. What is your reaction to the changes that are being made right now by HHS, who's continuously actually, and I should say, that they are still investigating a lot of these groups, so it's still ongoing, but they're making some immediate changes right now?
They need to. I mean, this is horrifying. I got, much like vaccines, I used to be a fan of the whole organ donation thing, but it's horrific. Not only was are there the 28 cases that you mentioned, there's another statistic out there showing that 73 of 351 reviewed cases, patients displayed neurological signs that they weren't compatible with brain death, yet they moved and they pushed through this stuff anyways. Understand that this whole thing is at best flawed and at worst corrupt. There's a lot of money in organ harvesting, right? So when you harvest the organs, you know, there's organ harvesting itself, but then each surgery that you get from those, some hospitals making a lot of money off of that. So there's a lot of financial incentives in this. And you may say to yourself, well, that doesn't matter. No hospital would do that, except for then you go back to COVID, where we saw and we can prove and we can demonstrate that these hospitals were knowingly doing things that were killing patients for financial gain.
Tom Renz, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing and joining us this morning. Give him a follow on X.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West Awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, The West Awakens, with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowshowstore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store, apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense, Immune Boost, and get another bottle half off. The point is, we got War Bonds. That's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100. It's mailed to you as a promo code on it for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, just like being Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time, get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our methylene blue. You are crazy if you don't get our Ultimate Life Force Blood Detox. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.